Good morning to one and all. I bring you greetings from the brothers and sisters at Concord Street. Oh, I can see clearly now. And I want to thank the elders and the brethren here for considering me to share with you this morning from the words of life. It is always a great pleasure to be with God's people. It is always a honor to share the Word of God. And we know that it is the purpose of our very being to share the Word. We are here today because someone took the time to share the Word with us. Because someone thought it was important enough that our souls would one day be with theirs in heaven. When we think of the person or persons that shared the word with us, the persons that sat down with us and taught us the word, we should be thankful to them as well as to our Heavenly Father for sending them. Let us realize that there are times in our life that God's going to send someone for you to share the word with. And you must be ready. And this morning and this evening, I thought I might just share with you for a few moments a little bit about preparedness, a little bit about being ready, a little bit about the war that we are involved in each and every day that we live upon the face of this earth. Now, we know that we're at war right now as a country, a war against terrorism. We fight right now. And there are souls that are being taken. There are young men and women who are dying every day because of this war. But let there be no doubt in your mind that spiritually we are involved in a war. Spiritually we are fighting a fight. Spiritually we do battle against Satan, against Lucifer, however you want to refer to him as, every day. Him and those who are on his side. There can be no doubt that we are in a battle on this planet, right here and right now, for the souls of human beings everywhere. There can be no doubt that we who are Christians have enlisted in the Lord's army to do the fighting on this planet for the souls of mankind. If you would please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Around verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardships with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, He does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Good soldiers will and must suffer hardships. Soldiering is hard business. It is hard work. It requires sacrifice. A good soldier will not be entangled in the affairs of everyday life. Know this, church. Good soldiers are not born. Good soldiers are made. Good soldiers are not born good soldiers, but good soldiers are made. A good soldier for God must be trained. A good soldier for God must be guided. A good soldier for God must be taught. A good soldier for God must be conditioned. A good soldier for God must be disciplined and thoroughly indoctrinated into good soldiering. It just doesn't come naturally. It's something that must be developed. And when the Bible makes this statement about being good soldiers, God is assuming, God is knowing, God is hoping that we understand, or that we will get an understanding of what it means to be a good soldier. An enlistment into the armed forces of God. An enlistment. Joshua enlisted into the armed forces of God. In Joshua chapter 24, around verse 14. The jailer in Acts chapter 16 enlisted into the army of God. King Agrippa almost, he got to the point where he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to sign the enlistment papers. He had his pen out. Because he knew what Paul was saying was right, and it was true. And he said, almost thou persuadest me to sign up to be in the army of God. Almost. And he said this before many, many witnesses who were gathered there in the court to hear what Brother Paul had to say, to hear his defense. But we who sit here haven't listened. We went a step further than King Agrippa. And we said, not only will we hold the pen in our hand to sign the contract, we will sign. We have enlisted. We have committed to serving God, to being a good soldier in the army of God. As everyone knows here, anytime that you enlist into the army, into the armed forces of any branch of our service, of the military, there's basic training you have to go through. There are some basic things, some basic principles, some basic concepts that you must go through after you say, yes, this is what I want to do. And you know, there's no difference in the Lord's army. There is no difference. Where do you think man got the idea from God? that there are some basic things you have to go through as a new convert in the Lord's army. There's a new convert class that you need to go through. Now, whether you call it a new convert class or not doesn't make any difference. But in new convert class, you learn those basic things that you need to know to be in the Lord's army. There's some mentoring, some discipleizing that has to be done. Somebody has got to take you under their wing and say, brother or sister, this is how we do it, and this is why we do it. And somebody has done that for you, just like you will do it for someone else. Discipleize. There's lots of reading, quality reading, quantitative reading, because you have to know the manual. You've got to know the book. How can you be a good soldier if you don't know what to do? If you don't know where you're supposed to be? If you don't know where you're supposed to go? And it's all right here in the book. God made it so simple for us. We don't have to worry about getting a vision. We don't have to worry about receiving a dream. It's right here in the manual, right here. How to walk, how to talk, how to think, how to share, how to be the soldier that God would have me to be. It's right here. Right here. There's fellowship. There's the camaraderie that we enjoy one with another. It felt so good coming here today and seeing the Baker. I haven't seen Sister Baker since the end of school last year out at Mount Dora. It was a sad time, but it was a good time. And those two little young'uns of hers were still in her belly. Okay, they were just little old tiny things. They're pretty little right now, comparatively speaking. And it was good seeing the skipper. Brother Carl and I, we shared some time together in class. He was one of my students for world geography. It was good seeing him. And his sister came and sat with us this morning. But that camaraderie that we enjoy one with another. When I think about Brother Grinnell, and last night I had the opportunity to speak to a group of teachers over at Concord that are involved in our inner city ministry. And I told Brother Dan Cawthorn that I was going to be coming out here today. And he said, remember what Brother Grinnell said, give them heaven! Give them heaven. Give them heaven, Brother Head. Give them heaven. All right. Give them heaven. That's what we want. We want to give them heaven. But lots of fellowship. And it's good to see all your faces. And even though I'm getting older and I don't remember a lot of names, you don't forget a face. And that's a good thing. You don't forget a face. And coming into the Lord's army, there's also a separation that is needed. When you go into the real military or into man's military, they take you away to boot camp. I used to live in Toledo, Ohio. That's where I was born and raised. After I graduated from high school, I joined the Navy. And they took me away from Toledo, Ohio. They took me away from Mama. They took me away from my brothers and my sisters. They took me away from all my friends and shipped me two states over to Illinois. And they said, this is where you're going through your training at. This is where we're going to indoctrinate you. And with God, it is no different. When we become a soldier of the Lord, it calls for a separation. A separation between the old self and the new self. a separation that we now realize must be in our lives, a separation from the world and from doing worldly things that go against the principles of God. To walk a new path, a new light. In the Navy, in boot camp, from 5:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night was our indoctrination period. From 5:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, it was drilled into us. This is what it's about. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to learn. This is what you need to know. And as Christians, it should be no different. The first couple of years that we become Christians, there should be a blank in our life in reference to what was going on in the world. Because those first couple of years, we should be so engrossed, so deep in the Word of God, so entrenched with the fellowship among the Christians, so ingrained into the work of the church, because we're thirsty and we're hungry for the knowledge that God would give us, that we don't know what's happening out there. There should be a void. There should be a couple of years there where we don't know what songs were popular, because we weren't listening to the radio. There should be a couple of years there where we don't know what was going on television, because we wasn't looking at television. There should be a couple of years there where we were so entrenched in God's Word to make it a part of who we are and what we are, that what was happening in the world just didn't compare or matter. Those first couple of years of basic training, where we learn those things, the basics that God would have us to know, of what we needed to do, of what we needed to do, and to know what we needed to do, not only to save our own soul, but to save the soul of others. To share, to be able to share the life-giving message of Christ. Is there a couple of years in your life that are blank? Well, you didn't listen to the radio because you were so engrossed in learning what thus saith the Lord. I pray that there is. Sometimes boot camp isn't enough. Sometimes we need more. A part of boot camp is receiving a very large shot. And they give you that very large shot in the hip. And that very large shot is designed to inoculate you against some particular disease. And you think that the needle that they're shooting you with is about that big. You think that. It's not really that big, but you think it is. And after that, after you get that shot, they take you out and they run it. They give it to you right in the old hip-a-rooney here. And then they run you. Because they know that it's going to hurt. That there's going to be pain later on because of that inoculation. And they run. Now, for some, the pain comes within a couple of hours, because you just get a big old knot right there. And then for some, the pain doesn't come until the morning. But it is imperative that you get that shot. In John chapter 17, John chapter 17, around verse 17. At your leisure, please go back and read verse 1 through 17. It says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." To sanctify, to set apart. To sanctify, to make holy. To sanctify is to purify. Purified, set apart, to be a disciple, to be a soldier of God. Sanctified and set apart to abide in the Word of God. The truth. God didn't clean us up to throw us back in the mud. God cleaned us up so we could be an example. God cleaned us up so that we could share with others. God cleaned us up because He has something for us to do. And every day, He wants us to do it as good soldiers. I was in public school for 8 years before I went out to Mount Dora for 2 years. And I told my students out at Mount Dora that we weren't together just because of circumstance or happenstance. It was not by any kind of haphazard plan that we came together. But God saw a need for them and a need for me to come together. To share, to be a part of one another's lives. God saw that. You see, with God, it just doesn't happen haphazardly. God has a plan. God has a design. God has got the big picture. And many times, we as human beings, with our small minds, we don't get it. But God said, it's okay if you don't get it. It's okay. Just do what I say. You don't have to know the big picture. Just do what I say. When the brother was teaching class this morning about prayer, and he was talking about hanging pictures, when Sister Head has me hang a picture, okay? It doesn't matter whether I like the picture or not. Just put the nail in the wall where I tell you to put it. Okay. To the right a little bit. To the left a little bit. Up, down. Just do what I say. You don't have to like the picture. You don't have to know there's going to be a picture. It might be a scounce. For the guys in the audience, that's one of them things you can put candles on. You hang that on the wall too. We know you women folk know about that. But God said, do it. If you got the big picture, fine. If you don't have the big picture, that's okay. Just do what I say. It's not hard. Just do what I say. And you know, one thing I like about soldiering is commitment. Commitment. When I got out of the Navy after 22 years, I found that being a civilian was a little different. After 22 years of being in the military, it was a little different to be a civilian. I didn't see the level of commitment in being with non-military people that I saw with military people. But you know, with military people, hey, we got a job to do, let's get the job done. If it takes 10 hours, okay. If it takes 12 hours, okay. If it takes 24 hours, okay. We get the job done. In the civilian world, they say, let's get the job done. Well, brother, you know we get off here at 3:30. We're going to do 3:30 worth of job, then we're going home. And there'll be more job tomorrow. But as a good soldier for the Lord, as a soldier, as a military person, you don't put God on no watch. There's no 3:30, we get off. There's no, okay, Sunday's over, we can go back to the old life, the old way of talking, the old way of walking, the old way of doing what we want to do. God says, I want commitment. God wants it all. He wants your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday, your Saturday, and your Sunday. He wants you when you're sitting in church, and he wants you when you're standing in line at Walmart. That's right. God may send you an opportunity while you're standing in one of them long lines at Walmart. You think you're just haphazardly standing there behind that person and just waiting your turn for that cashier who's got to do a price check. But God put that person there in front of you to share a little bit of this. That's why that person is standing there. Maybe somebody else planted a seed a while ago. And now you've got to come and put a little water on it. Or maybe you're going to plant the seed, so this brother right here, next time he's in Walmart and he's standing behind that same person, he didn't know you was there already. Or maybe he's going to plant the seed and you're going to add the water. God's got it all figured out. We don't have to figure it out. Just do what he says. Commit. Matthew 6 and 24. We need to realize